Hello, everyone. This is going to be fun. This is going to be good. And my name is Sean.
And I'm Justin.
And you're joining us on podcast 17 of the Dot Matrix.
Dot com. I'd love to do
dot
that.
Com. So we have a lot to talk about today, and...
Yes, we do. This day is September 11th. We're recording this, and I mean, it's, I guess, significant, obviously, in the big world, but, you know, I don't want to give it too much significance as I did in the Republican convention where they showed the towers burning
the
in the
towers.
Back of the screen. Oh, that
awful.
Was...
Awful.
Anyway.
Shame!
But, so, we do want to mention that it is a... I guess momentous. It is a momentous day of some kind, right? So
I think, yeah, when you get to the seventh year, right?
Yeah.
2008? Yeah, well, I think it's really important. But, you know, I think it's kind of like one of those larger scale, kind of bigger picture kind of days, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of that, so.
That's true. But it's been 3 weeks since our last podcast, and at least 3 weeks, and it's like, I swear, like, the world has just change, you know, like
immensely.
Like, I mean, I am well. One, I am so tired right now, so I am apologize for what if I'm not going to make any sense today on various different things. But when we were preparing,
how
for...
is that different? Just joking. Okay, we'll have to adjust the levels. There.
Yeah, sorry. Wow, yeah, that one was crazy. I'm also trying to practice my speaking voice since I have a big speech to give tomorrow. And I've never really been one to worry about my projection, but you never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, a lot has happened. The Olympics are over. The Paralympics are underway. There wasn't an election the last time we started. Now there is a Canadian election. Both conventions have come and gone on the American side, the Democrats and the Republicans. So there's a huge slew of things going on, and I mean, there's a whole other slew of stuff going on too on my own personal life, but we don't necessarily have to get into all of that, except for the fact that I'm just so tired. I literally have not been this tired in my life. Like, I have
this
pulled,
is it? This
yeah,
is the cake. This takes the cake.
I have pulled 2 all-nighters in the last week, and the Labor Day weekend I did the 3-day novel writing contest, so I didn't sleep barely at all. And that was a complete journey. And one of these days, we'll talk about it at another podcast, because I learned so much about my own personal journey. This is very autobiographical, pretty much.
Right.
And you know, my whole quest this year about trying to figure out this relationship stuff. I learned a lot, actually, by writing this.
Mm.
And I tried to make a certain point in my novel, and I just couldn't make that point. Like, I just couldn't. The point could not be made. And it gave me a really strong realization about... the world we live in and society and where romance and the relationship between two consenting adults fit into this world, that sort of stuff. Like, I really actually have some epiphanies on that, but we won't get into that today, because today is chock full of other stuff and we are on a deadline, because we need to get out of here to go to the movies after and eat.
Yes, Vicky, Christina, Barcelona.
Mm-mm-mm.
Hell yeah.
My review is it's going to be great.
Yeah, let's just say it now. It's going to be great. I will not do that voice again.
Our levels are crazy today.
Yes. Don't worry.
It's been a long time, that's why. I think we're just too excited. But topic one.
Yes.
The Canadian election. And not necessarily anything about it, but something very in particular about it. Because, frankly, the Canadian election is boring. Frankly, every leader is boring. Frankly, like, it's not inspiring. It's... ugh. But the one topic, of course... is the flip-flop on the leaders' debate.
Yes.
And
Huge. I registered my disgust.
Before I was thinking, like, I don't necessarily register myself for a lot of these kinds of things, but this one I was going to because I thought I was so enraged.
Mm.
And by the time I tried to figure out what I was going to do, the decision had been made, which is great, right?
Yeah.
But the context is the election call happened last weekend.
Yes.
Today's a
Sunday.
Today's a Thursday, so it happened Sunday. It's only been less than a week. And the way Canadian elections work is that the governing party sort of dissolves parliament, or they ask the governor general to dissolve parliament, and then you have an election for however many weeks. It's not, I mean, although there is an election date law that says it's supposed to be sometime next year, but, you know, well,
crap.
That's crap. so it's not like the U.S. system at all, right? So they called it for October 14th, so it's less than a month away, I guess, or no, a little bit more than a month away.
Yep.
And, And typically, like in a U.S. election, there's going to be three presidential debates. At least, I think there's three, and there's vice president. There's two presidentials.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's three in total. One of them is the vice president.
Which is
I totally want to see that one.
Well, see, it's the only vice presidential candidate debate that we're ever going to be interested in.
I know.
Ever.
I know.
Because she wants to go to war with Russia. But we'll go back to that.
But the Canadian one is, because it's so short, there's just this one debate.
Mm.
And, well, one in English and one
just
in French.
Just the one time.
The one time. It's in English, one in English, and one in French. And it's always in the studio where there's no audience, there's no nothing, and it's totally stale.
Now, last time, is it true that they did not have a studio audience, or am I thinking provincial? I thought they had people.
I have never seen a federal or a provincial election in BC where there's been an audience.
You know what's interesting, though, quickly about that is I remember last time around, 2 years ago, I guess now, almost 3 years ago, when I think you watched them, but I watched the French one when I had TV and cable.
Yeah.
And I was amazed. Like, there was actually different questions posed.
Right.
Obviously more Quebec-based.
Right.
But I was actually excited about it. Wasn't the same thing, just in a different language. It was actually almost
right.
like another whole debate, which I thought was really cool.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know if you found that, but that's what I like about having both languages. So
and
you get more out of them.
That's true. And frankly, I don't really remember too much about the content of them. But
I don't know why I do.
But basically, there are four parties that take part in these debates because they have members of parliament.
Yeah.
In the House of, in Ottawa. And the Green Party has always tried to get in to these debates, and they've never been able to because of this rule. And so the story goes that this election, right before it was called, ousted Liberal MP joins the Greens. And so now the Green Party has a sitting member of parliament in Ottawa.
Regardless of how he got there.
He got there.
Yeah.
Right? And so my assumption was when the election was called, oh, great. Finally, the Greens
mm-hmm.
will get on.
Sure. Should have been, that's the answer.
It should have been that easy.
Yeah.
You said it and forget it. And so, just a little Ronco joke. Anyways.
You'll have to explain that for about 1.3 billion people later.
What, no one watches infomercials at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Not anymore.
That's the only... When Joe Biden did his acceptance speech for the Democratic Party for the vice presidential nomination, he kept saying, that's not change. That's more of the same. And then he said it about 20 different times,
mm-hmm.
and the audience kept repeating it, and I kept thinking about that infomercial about the Ronco rotisserie.
Oh, yes. Is that the guy with the apron?
Yeah,
oh.
And he always says, said it and forget it. And then the audience always said it. So it was like sheep saying that, right?
Right, right.
But anyways, the story... We're taking so long to get to the story, right? And the point of the story is that the Consortium of Canadian Broadcasters said, no, the Green Party leader won't participate in the debates because they had a discussion with the other party leaders, and they said if she takes part, then three out of the four would boycott.
Mm-hmm. And one of them later said they hadn't.
Right.
But who knows?
Who knows? And so, and that was completely outrageous.
Absolutely.
I mean, they could have gone and said, you know, maybe because the NP wasn't elected as a Green Party. Like, you know, that could be the nuance they could go, but they didn't go that way. Or at least
not at all.
They talked about the fact that, you know, the leaders, they talked to the leaders. And I'm like, wait a second. How do leaders decide whether or not they participate in the one
exactly.
and only debate there is?
Exactly. And why are the networks making the final decision anyway, after consulting with those guys?
Yeah.
It's like unelected, like big, you know, head honcho guys or women talking to these assholes, excuse me. But like, hello, and I guess we'll name who they were. The Bloc was the Quebec party, who only have 75 ridings, they're only in Quebec.
Yeah.
And so they're not for the national interest anyway. So why they get in, I have no idea. I know they fit the rules, but
right.
those rules should be adjusted as far as I'm concerned. And then you have Jack Layton with the NDP, who was the most surprising.
Yeah, I was surprised that the boycott.
I thought for sure he was going to be the one who says, no, she should be in there.
I know.
But I know why And you know why.
There was, like, a pact between him and Harper.
Him and Harper. And there's a pact between May, the leader of the Greens, and Dionne, Liberals.
Right, yes. And that they quoted that as saying, well, Elizabeth May is just going to be another liberal candidate. Why would liberal leader kind of thing? Because, but the only pact was, and they announced it rather publicly. Like I remember this, like 6 or 7 months or even a year ago when May got elected, she said, I'm going to run in New Glasgow, Nova Scotia in this riding.
Yeah.
I'm going to run against Peter MacKay of the Conservatives, which is she's never going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was just kind of surprising, but anyways, that she wanted to do that. But they announced it. Here's my riding, and the Liberals have decided won't run a candidate in that riding.
Right.
And conversely, the Greens won't run a candidate in Stefan Dionne's riding.
Right.
That's the agreement that they set. And to be honest, the Liberals, it's stupid for them to not make that pact and just try to show some goodwill, because it's Peter MacKay's riding. He's going to win it as a Conservative. It's never going to go to the Liberals anyways. So who cares if they run a candidate? Save some money, right? But what really irks me was that it was clear that Stephen Harper and Jack Layton had a pact to boycott, that they would stand firm and boycott. And I mean, that you never heard out until this happened.
They're like buddy-buddy when they need to be. It's so weird.
And that, to be honest, disgusts me. And I'm, you know, my political leanings probably fall more towards the NDP than any party. Maybe
me
the
too.
Liberals, right? But I can't, just because of this fact, I just cannot, in good conscience, even consider them at this stage. Like, even if I was thinking about it, I'm not now.
That
was awful.
I've been tossing the coin every day since this happened a couple days ago, because I was like, I was leaning towards NDP or Greens, like that side of it, and thinking that the Liberals have no idea what they're doing, and they're not going to tell us what the platform is, at least for another week. And Conservatives, well, I can't in good conscience vote for them anyway. But knowing what we know about the NDP and the Conservatives and that pact, and the NDP just on their own basis just saying they oppose it anyway, it's just like my whole complete attitude just shifted on my take on the NDP. I actually liked a lot of things that they stand for. They actually have a more coherent policy than most of the other parties, because they don't suffer the same consequences.
Right.
If they don't follow through. So it's just like, I phoned Libby Davies.
Oh.
And I got her voice message in her office, constituency office.
Oh, yeah?
And I said, I'm calling to register my disgust, or outrage, I think I said.
Is she your MP?
Yep.
Oh. Good.
Yep. Oh. And I said, I think Libby Davies does good work.
Yeah.
I mean, she's been here forever.
Yeah.
But I said, this is completely outrageous. And what are you guys going to do about it? You know, like, and like, just, you said it best when you're like, now I can't even really consider at this stage in the game. And it's an early stage in the game voting for them.
Yeah.
Now.
I've ruled out the Conservatives just generally out of principle. And now the NDP because of this. So now I have to figure out, well, what are my options now? And they're basically Liberal or Green, and I've got to look at both of them now.
And that's the thing. It's sad, because I'm like, do I overlook this and just continue on with the NDP and say, that okay, that was a gaffe? But I can't.
I can't either. Yeah.
And now I'm even starting to look at the Liberals, like, do I look at this Green shift more seriously?
Well,
you know?
My problem is, like, we just had a by-election in my riding, right?
That's
and
right.
So I don't
which
know.
We've discussed.
I'm assuming that these candidates will just run again. Like, I mean, how else can they get a new candidate right away? But my problem is, like I said, and when we talked about it, is that Conservative person almost got in because a lot of the Liberal votes went to NDP or Green or whatever, and it almost split everything up, and she almost got in for doing absolutely dick all to actually win the riding. She actually could have won.
She just sat there.
Yeah, so like, I may have to now actually think strategic voting for once, which I hate to do.
You know what? I have to admit, I've done it once.
Really?
To keep Harper out.
See, and I haven't done it yet.
I didn't like doing it, but it's always a consideration, especially now if they think there's a majority possibility for the Conservatives. It is tempting, you know?
Right.
But, no, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought the whole debate thing up, because I think it's completely undemocratic.
Right, yeah.
If we are calling ourselves a democracy, then we have to start acting like one.
Right.
and you can't expect news people to make decisions. And it's a complete conflict of interest when the other party heads are deciding.
I know, I like, if you're a consortium and you run the debate, you run the debate. Why would...
I know.
Like, why would you even ask the party leaders? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, did they ask them, or did the party leaders just say, we're boycotting?
Well, they said that they had a conversation with each of the leaders to try to make them come to some consensus. They were saying that they wanted to invite May on Monday, but the leaders couldn't come to an agreement, and then they would boycott, and so they decided not to.
You know what?
Right? So it's kind of weird. Like, it sounds like you said, an old boys' room kind of thing. I mean, in the end, people like us, people specifically like you, I didn't do anything. I was just outraged and didn't get my chance to do anything yet. Voiced their opinions in all sorts of formats, all sorts of areas.
And they rescinded,
as of yesterday.
I heard that, but I just never saw any article on it for some reason.
Yeah, no,
but
she got in, and I was thrilled.
Me too.
Like, I mean, I don't know much about her, and I don't know much about her debating style and whether this would make a difference, but, like, I was so proud that it...
The voice.
The voice. It made a difference.
It really did.
And I just can't believe how anyone would, in their right mind would even think that what decision that was made on Monday would have flown. You know, like, it floors me that anyone with a right and a left brain that works well
would
even think that they could just say what they did and it'd be like, oh, okay, no problem. I it was enraging.
Call me Bruce Allen, but what a bunch of idiots. I mean, seriously.
You're going to have to expand on that one to a couple billion people. million Chinese people, billion Chinese people don't know who the hell Bruce Allen is.
Oh, I think a lot of them do now. Like,
right, of course.
Anyway, we won't go into that.
Wow, look at the levels. That's crazy.
Yeah, and here I am leaning into the computer. I will sit back. But I think...
we've covered that topic.
You know, and I like Dion. I like the guy. I just don't like his deputy, Ignatieff. I don't like knowing that if Dion goes down for whatever reason, if he's leader, Ignatieff goes in the top spot, right?
Maybe.
They have to show that they've got their act together, or I'm not even considering voting for them. And I think a lot of people are thinking that.
Yeah.
But anyway, if there's, we'll move on to
we
U.S.
Can move, yes. Yeah. And that's, you know, and frankly, it's there's a lot of stupidity in that system, but there's something really powerful and interesting about the fact that you vote for the president directly. Like, you can't vote for the prime minister directly. You know, you vote for the MP, and then whoever party has the most MPs, that leader becomes prime minister. That's how it works in Canada. In the United States, it's very different. And in many ways, you get more stuff done when you in the way the Canadian system works. But the way the U.S. system works, if you have a president of one party and then the Congress and Senate of different parties, you know, you have stalemates all the time, right? But when you have a perfect storm of things where a system where you vote for the actual leader...
Mm-hmm.
empowers everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you have two candidates who are so different from each other, and one who is just amazingly energizing to a whole mass of people who just weren't energized.
Millions around the world, actually. Yeah.
Like, and I was watching something, not to bring up the Canadian election again too much, but there's some stories about, you know, the youth vote in Canada, or like, will it go up? And like, trust me, it's going to go down this time in Canada because there is nothing that's energizing, new. Just because Jack Layton talks about change doesn't mean he's viewed as a change agent, right?
But that's the thing, because they're not talking about youth. They're talking about, you know, NDP usually bring up tuition, you know, things like that. But what are the words that come out of their mouth? Families.
Yes.
Well, great, but there's a lot of people that are on their own and are young, and they're not even thinking family in their head.
Yeah, they're just thinking protected sex.
Well, hopefully they are.
but you have Obama, Barack Obama, and the Democratic side, who has that energy and really is talking about stuff that really is engaging a lot of people, not just young, but a lot of people who maybe are disenfranchised.
Smaller.
Like, if I was in the States, I would be so feeling more enfranchised or franchised or whatever the word is, different from disenfranchised, you know, the opposite of it, because of this, like, you know, that he actually makes politics seem less lame, and not, there's not a whole bunch of corrupt people. I mean, I would be devastated if he was actually a corrupt bastard. But, you know, like, I always think of these active political people as being losers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh god, they're so lame, and I don't even want to listen to them.
Yep.
I mean, it's the bow tie wearing people, right? Like, Jacqueline, and I said to my sister last night, you know, after I heard what he did and all this thing about this debate stuff, I said, Jack Layton might as well just go every day from now and the rest of the campaign
wearing
a
bow tie.
Wearing a bow tie. Like
completely.
He's
Tucker.
Not... Yeah, Tucker Carlson. But, so we have the two candidates in the U.S. that are pretty different and really interesting. And then, of course, the whole vice presidential thing is...
Huge surprise.
I was, like, I couldn't believe it. And I was like, wow.
She's crazy.
That changes everything, and it's so brilliant. I'm like so.
Oh.
I'm so thrilled to be just sitting here in the back,
in
end,
the background.
In the background, sort of watching this happen. Like, this is the most interesting thing,
you know,
happened in generations.
I keep thinking to myself, I know what I think about these people in my head, and should I just go out and say things like she's crazy or something without really knowing that much about her, except for what they've said in recent week since she's been nominated.
Right.
I think it has a huge impact. Here we are. A woman, not Hillary Clinton.
Yes, I know that.
I mean, Hillary Clinton's been in the Senate for 6 years or something.
Yeah.
So she's paid her dues. And I'm not saying it's about experience and all. I'm just saying, like, she's worked hard. She's been first lady and all that. And now you have this one woman who's been in office for, like, a year in Alaska, which is fine.
18 months.
Awesome. Great start. And she could probably be a good vice president, but it's the reasons why they picked her. I'm not saying she can't do the job. It's why it's so blatant and transparent why they picked her. It's like, come on, guys. Like, who do you think we are? Like,
and I've talked about this a lot on this podcast, that for me, like, it's not about politics and the game of politics. It's about government. It's about doing good so we can all live a better life and make life somewhat easier for us, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and
these
and
are games.
Yeah, and these are games. But I have to admit, again, being
clever.
In the background,
I got
a little golf clap.
Checkmate.
You know? Like,
yeah.
That was like, I couldn't believe it. That was brilliant.
They're laughing.
Yeah.
Like, and what's his face? McCain had met her once previously. And they're soulmates now? No, I mean, these are words coming out of their mouth. Like, I don't get it.
Well, and the first couple of days after she was announced as being the chosen one for the vice presidency on the Republican side, all the thing about where she carried her baby, it was actually her baby, and that's
right.
That's kind of a distraction, and I don't really
huge.
Care about that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the Obama sort of said, you know, that's none
he
of our
good.
Business, you know, I think that's fine. But what I thought was really interesting that came out, which was really true, was, what's really interesting was about all the stuff that her claims about bringing the Alaska pipeline, you know, that pipeline of natural gas down to the 48 states. She's talked about that's her big thing. And that pipeline is only on the drawing board. It's maybe 10 years away from even being completed.
Is that right?
And there's no pipe not one pipe has been laid so far. And so she's touting this as being her big achievement. And yes, it's gone. People have been talking about the pipeline for generations. And it's come as close as it has ever come to actually happening because of her. But it's not happened. She's talking as if it's done, right? It's not even close, right? You know, it is no.
Funny.
It's not even designed yet, or whatever the stage is at. But it's not nearly as done as she's claiming it's done. And then the other thing about she said no to the bridge to nowhere. You know, the whole big pork barrel bill that was going to bring funding to the Alaska to build this bridge. They call it the bridge to nowhere, right?
But where would it be?
It would just be. It's probably a bridge that sort of. That connects two spans of Alaska that no one really goes to, you know?
Okay,
so
right.
It would just be, you know, money to build infrastructure for no reason, just to, except for to bring money and jobs to Alaska, right? And so she touts in every one of her speeches, said, well, I said thanks, but no thanks to this bridge to nowhere, they call it, right? And again, showing her as being this maverick saying no to the Washington establishment, trying to take taxpayers' money and be wasteful about it.
Yes.
But... of course, the digging goes in, and she actually, for almost up until the point where it was going to die anyway, she was in favor of it.
Sure.
So then when it was going to die, she was against it. Suddenly she was against it. And all that money still went to the state. They didn't give the money back.
Typical.
They just kept the money.
And spent it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
good,
so
good move.
I was like, you have to...
You're appalled?
Do some of this research, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean...
Oh, you do. And that's the thing. They have, what, 2 months to... less than two months to really understand who she is and where she comes from. Lifelong NRA member. I mean, since she got in there, all of a sudden, McCain's talking about change and being a maverick and
right.
standing up to this establishment. It's like, whoa, hey guys, well, wait a second. You are the establishment. I know he's gone against Bush a few times.
But 90%
with Bush. And when you have the president via satellite talking about an example or two of when he didn't agree with Bush, like the president.
Right.
Like, that's, again, so transparent. Like, it's lame. It's blatant. It's like, I'm here to tell you that even though you've heard that he stood with me 90% of the time, I'm going to give you an example of once when he didn't agree with me. And because he didn't agree with me, he is the man to lead. It's like, oh, okay, well, what about all of the other people on the other side of the spectrum who don't agree with you? Like, it's okay for McCain not to agree with you once in a while, but not the whole rest, half of the country. Like, that's what didn't you find that weird?
Yeah.
Like, I found that amazing. And the fact that he wasn't even there in person. Like, doesn't the president show up for that stuff?
Yeah, but that was something to do with the fact that New Orleans was going to get pummeled again by that Hurricane Gustav.
So they kept him away.
Yeah, and he didn't want to look like an idiot like he did with Katrina.
Like, when he was sitting there with FEMA?
Yeah.
New Orleans is in danger, or whatever he said, Louisiana. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So, wow,
but,
that's a huge one, too. So what's next?
Sorry, I was going to bring something up about more about Palin, or about... of course, our friend, Bill Moyers.
Yes.
I watched on television, actually.
Weekend Warriors.
They were talking about that, and I haven't listened to that part, but I listened to the first part, which was the recap of the Democratic and Republican conventions with Kathleen Hall Jamison, who I love and who is
brilliant woman. Yes.
My sister's like, why don't you just marry her? Well, I would if I could. But no, her dissection of the conventions and also about
yeah.
Palin and the coverage of Palin.
Yeah.
Very
brilliant.
Good.
Yeah.
So I haven't listened to the Weekend Warriors piece yet, and I wanted,
mm-hmm.
but
I one.
Was, she talks very specifically about what we talked about in terms of the research and getting it right, and,
yeah.
and you know, and then
absolutely.
How the news media just rushes to try to get judgments.
Well, they
but,
find the juicier ones anyway.
Yeah, but anyways, that was my topic around Palin, and
I think through all this Palin stuff, I mean, Obama was looking high and mighty during his convention, and then a few days pass, and then the Republicans start theirs, and they throw this bombshell in there.
Yes.
Now, do you think Obama's campaign has taken a dip because of that?
Oh, absolutely. Like, it was...
Isn't that crazy?
When I watched the Democratic one, I was like, wow, this is pretty impressive. Like,
it looked great.
You see Soldier Field and millions of people, basically.
It was like 80,000
yeah.
people or something.
Like, that's quite impressive. Like, it makes you feel like there's a movement going on, you know?
Oh, big time.
And then, of course, the hurricane, and they had the first day of the Republican convention. Like, it was God telling them that Democrats are going to win.
Yeah, right.
so, then, you know, the first day is kind of wiped out, pretty much, and they just try to be calm and quiet about it.
Right.
And then, you know, then the of course, you know, Palin says her thing, and McCain gets his speech, and,
yeah.
and of course, Fred Thompson comes up and talks.
Unbelievable.
And we're winning! And, like, it's really, I mean, so there's clips of The Daily Show during
yeah.
the Republican convention where it was just insane. Like, they were talking about, oh, we gotta,
oh, I know.
We've got to shake things up in Washington,
yeah.
and we're the ones to shake things up, and you know.
It's not even believable.
Stewart is just as flabbergasted as we are about the fact that that doesn't make any sense. Like, you're the ones to save us from yourselves,
uh-huh.
you know, like...
I know.
Like,
they are the ones that are causing the problems, for the most part, and here they are talking about shaking things up. It's like, well, who, you're referring to yourself. Absolutely.
I mean, how, they talk about the no-do Congress because the Democrats and the Senate are the Senate and the Congress are sort of majority are Democrats, but only since like 2006.
Yeah.
But the 6 years before that, it was all Republican. And you're like, I mean, we're not stupid. How can you spin it that way when 6 years of everything was you were the no do good or whatever, do nothing, whatever. You know, like,
yeah.
Like we're not idiots.
Well, that's the thing, though. Their base is. I mean, I hate to say it, and I don't mean any disrespect to U.S. citizens, but we're talking about mostly people who aren't questioning their traditional leaders, like the people they go for initially and always stick with. Like, they don't, like they were saying in the Bill Moyers podcast, like they're not researching these people. They feel like they're not being patriotic by doing so. And they're talking about the crazy left.
Yes.
And liberal. And it's like
eating arugula.
It's completely astonishing. And when I said we're winning, I was referring to the fact that they talk about McCain, like he always stood up for the troops and wanting the surge to happen when it wasn't popular. And he's like, and look, we're winning. It's like,
yeah.
No one thinks we are.
Well, and it's funny because, like, on the Democrat side, and maybe this is the point in why it's not emotional, but it's measured, right? And the Republicans are very emotional in how they portray it. Like the Republicans saying, or the Democrats said in their convention over and over again, you know, we're not here to argue about who's more patriotic.
That's right.
Than
I know.
All of us support our troops. We all love America. We're all patriotic, you know. And so let's just take that off the table and start
Absolutely.
Talking about these issues. And then you have the Republicans come back the week later saying, these liberals don't, you know, and basically using the emotional draw again, right?
Yeah.
And by saying things
That's
like...
That's all they have, though.
I mean, like Palin said, you know, I'm from Alaska, I'm a small town girl with small town values, meaning that small town values are values, but you can't live in a metropolitan city and have values,
right.
You know? And I'm like, now... I mean, but that's always been the Republican, or at least the neoconservative thing, is you wedge politics, you know, you get everyone emotionally charged, and you put wedges between people. So, I think, sure, small-town values may be different than metropolitan values, but they're not, yeah, exactly, but they imply, and they do it purposefully, that implies that small-town values are better. And there's this great little segment on from the like. The Daily Show at the Republican convention was so much more fun than them at the Democratic convention.
Nice.
Like, they were going, asking them about, you know, what is small town values? Like, like John Oliver was going all over, I'm going to try to find this clip and post it, and they were saying, so what is small town values? So all these Republican delegates, and they're going, it's apple pie, it's just do good, and then whatever, this woman said, it's like a whole bunch of gibberish, and then he goes, oh, can you be more generic, please? And like, but people can't, like, they just say it and then that's truth. Like, tell us what exactly is different from small town versus big city. Like, what exactly is the value difference? I'm assuming that people in big cities would love to know their neighbors in just the same way that rural communities do.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are some people in rural communities who are fucking goats as well as they are in the city, you know? Like, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
You know, like,
marriage
and I'm sure, you know, homosexual marriages will happen in rural communities as well as urban centers. Like, I really don't know the difference, but there is a difference, though, you know? And I think
it's something that's felt, something you can't really describe.
And I think that's it. It's felt. It's not...
But fine. It's like, okay, we've established that.
Yeah.
They always vote with emotion, whereas the Democrats, they just don't play that card. But because they don't play that card, they look as the weaker party. And
yes, that's true.
And
that
that's
true.
Unbelievable, because it's like, well, wait a second. Let's talk about the economy. Let's talk about war. Let's talk about... But I didn't tell you how my values are reflected in those things. So it's like, if I hear the word values one more time, like, from those guys, it's not...
What I don't understand
why
is
does that matter?
Why is suddenly values and morality a wedge Like, it's what separates people. Like, shouldn't values and morals
bring people
together? You know, like, it's sort of like the problem with modern day religion. Like, in some, for some people who can use religion to find their inner peace, that's great, and I think that's brilliant.
Yeah,
I would love to be able to do that myself. Like, I think that's awesome. But to use religion to say, to use religion in a way that tells people why you're good and you're evil,
yeah.
same way. And they're doing it right now with values. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, like,
it's the only weapon they have.
I don't understand why it has to be so divisive. And I mean, in so this Canadian election, that's all they're doing. It's all suddenly all these attack ads, like instantly these weird websites where this puffin is defecating on Sifantiana.
I mean, who came up with that?
I mean, are you not watching what's really getting everyone excited down in the U.S.?
Oh, I know.
It's about other things.
It's shocking.
Like, I...
It's completely shocking. And I think, going back to the Canadian one, it's funny, too, how... It's not often you change leaders. Like, Doucette for the Bloc.
He's been around for, like...
18 years. 18 years, you know? But he's been leader only for, like, 12 or something.
But he's been, like in, like, 6 federal elections or something. Like, that many. It's so huge.
Well, that's just it. And not only that, it's like... They ask him, well, you lost some seats to Conservatives in 2006, and you'll probably lose some more. Aren't you worried? And he's like, well... Why would I be worried? It's like, well, it's like, because you don't know what else to say. It's like, of course they're worried. Like, they actually don't have any, they can't pick, like, they're asking Quebecers, like, pick something or a few things that they actually had an effect on. They made life better for people in Quebec compared to one of the other political parties had they been elected. They can't think of anything.
Right.
Because it's just not there. Like, there's no purpose to their party anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially when you have a federalist provincial party and not a separatist one.
Right.
Like, it's unbelievable that they still exist. I still don't get it. So, yeah, I don't know. Now I'm between, like, Greens and Liberals.
Yeah.
And it's too bad because I thought, even on the carbon thing, the cap and trade or whatever, the ideas that the NDP had on carbon emissions, I thought were actually kind of interesting. But it's weird how one big gaffe at the beginning of the campaign can actually have an effect on people's minds when they think of their... And I wasn't loyal to them, but they were the closest to what I thought was where we could be. And...
Right.
If it meant making them the official opposition compared to the Liberals,
right,
that could be productive in many ways. And one is because they've had a big effect on a lot of the big decisions that, like, budgets that have been passed previously in recent years and all these different things. The First Nations apology with those schools.
Yeah.
And, but then the other effect is you're sending the Liberals back to the, you know, the woodwork or whatever they call it. What do they call that when you send people back, like, to woodshed or really figure out what they're doing, you know?
To the drawing board kind of thing.
Like, you thought that the sponsorship scandal would get, the fallout from that would get the Liberals over the last 2 years of not being in power to get their shit together.
Right.
And no one really knows.
Well, and it's tough because there's still the really strong memory of the 10 years or whatever the Liberals were in power, and they kind of did nothing. You know, like, and they really didn't get stuff done, and not that the Conservatives have done a heck of a lot more. I mean, federal governments in any country move slow, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they are perceived as getting more done.
But
right?
So that is true. And but,
that's
you
a
know,
problem
the
for
only...
any party.
I think the only thing the Liberals did do in their big tenure, 10 or 12 years, is they actually did turn the economy around.
Yes.
They actually balanced budgets.
Yeah, but on the backs of families, though. That's the problem.
Well, that's the problem. And I agree with all that.
Yeah.
But it has to be known that pretty much one thing. They got a sign in Kyoto and then did nothing.
Yes.
Which Dion is a part of that.
And the only other thing, I mean, you're right. I mean, they have to get credit around sort of the health of the economy. That is true, although I have very strong opinions about how they got there.
I do too.
I agree that Kyoto, they did absolutely nothing after signing it. So that's a real, real problem for the liberals. And the only other thing is the gay marriage thing.
And staying out of Iraq. We could have gone to Iraq had it been harder.
That is true.
I think that's one of those things that people shouldn't forget.
That is true. I hadn't thought about that one. But for me, always the signature is the gay marriage one, which I think
that
is
above all.
Above
yeah.
all, that's really... And as much as I don't hate Kerchan, or I don't love
him.
I don't. I just find him boring. And, you know, and maybe he did a lot of stuff behind the scenes.
He was a manager.
But the gay marriage thing won. You know, you have to give credit. Because he pushed it through, and
yeah.
I think it became law when Martin was prime minister. But so either way, like I applaud
yeah.
that one.
Well, I think that's a really good political talk we had there.
Yes.
Was there any other things? We pretty much went over what I've been thinking.
Movie.
About.
Let's go.
Yeah. Vicky Cristina
Barcelona. I'll put a link to the trailer.
Oh, absolutely. So this is going to be a great Woody Allen film, and Jess and I are big Woody Allen fans, obviously.
Yes.
I don't think we've each seen all of his movies yet, but
no.
we've seen many.
Many.
And this Match Point was good.
Yes.
Scoop was not so good.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good.
No, it wasn't great.
It
wasn't awful.
I enjoyed it. If it wasn't Scarlett, though, I don't know if I'd be as into it. But this one, I hear he's back on top, so...
Yes, I'm keen.
So am I. All right,
well
thanks
it.
All. And you end this one, Justin.
Okay.
Because when I put the podcast together, I always realize that I think, more often than not, I always say the last word, but I think
really?
You should have the last... Yeah, it's always like, okay, see, or I
do
the
sign off.
Do you
always have to be on top, too?
I
don't know
go,
that. Don't answer.
I'm easy,
don't it.
But you know that already.
Yes. Well, visit us on the web, thedotmatrix.com. You can download us on iTunes, of course. Search for us. I don't think we're on any categories yet, but
and
you know,
Facebook people,
right? Facebook as well.
Look us up.
And yeah, you have to search thedotmatrix.com on, or at least thedotmatrix on iTunes to find us.
Yeah.
Or send us an email. You know, we always love comments. Or if you want us to talk about something, you know, just let us know.
Let us know about our pictures. If you like how
right.
we look,
especially if you like how I look. Hearing from you single ladies out there. God, that was really awful. Sorry, that was bad. But, see, that's what happens when you ask me to end
okay,
a show.
Okay, well, I'll end it then. You said everything you need to say.
Yes, well, yeah, I don't really know how to end, except for we'll see you next time.
Yeah, we'll see you then. And don't forget to vote. But we'll talk to you before we end up voting.
Great. That's
okay.
Great, Sean.
Bye.